Good afternoon.
I'm David Benners, Mary's uncle and Anne's brother. We welcome all of you here today and hope that by spending some time together, remembering and honoring Mary's fun and caring life, that we will find comfort, healing, and strength. We acknowledge our deep sadness and our sudden loss of Mary, and we do not pretend that it is less than it is. It is separation, it is sorrow, it is grief, it is confusing. And it leaves us with many questions that will never be answered. We also know that Mary's death is not an end to love. It is not an end to joy and laughter. As Helen Keller once said, what we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we love deeply becomes a part of us. We will all hold Mary close to our hearts. We will cherish all the wonderful memories, and we will see her in the beauty that surrounds us. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Mary. I'm Ed's sister and little Mary's aunt, so you know how families go. You can call me Big Mary, it's okay. And understand when I talk about little Mary, I'm talking about a young woman who is embedded in my heart forever. Mary and I had a great relationship, and we shared many fun times together crafting and with the rest of the Travis family. We thought that today, by looking back at Mary's life, we could all feel uplifted by knowing that for 19 and a half years, Mary had a really wonderful life. She was loved and loved others deeply. She was happy, and she created happiness for so many other people. Mary was a big, healthy baby. She was adorable and sweet, and believe it or not, quiet for a little while. She grew older. She became quite talkative and outgoing. Interestingly, despite acting very independent, Mary wanted to hold her parents' hands for a long time. She had a special doll that was very comforting to her. The doll was named Sucky. You heard right, yeah. She had two imaginary friends, Derpy and Waga, and she kept us all up to date on their adventures. Little Mary was an endearing mix of being confident, but also needing the closeness and reassurance from the one she was closest to. Mary was incredibly bright and quickly became an avid reader and writer. She spent hours with her mom and with Kate at the public library. She would check out like 20 books each time she went, and she would finish reading them all within a few days. She was highly verbal, and she could hold interesting conversations with just anyone she met, people of all ages. She excelled at school and always enjoyed the social aspects of it, so I think that's kind of unique, someone as social as Mary doing as well as she did, but she did. From the morning bus ride to Highland Park Elementary to joining Chi Omega sorority at Tulane, Mary was gifted with a creative mind and enjoyed performing and the studio arts. She was a born actress and had roles in school plays and community theater performances. She enrolled in fine arts classes, dance, music, including piano and choir. She sang so much around the house that "Mary, would you please stop singing?" was a phrase that would come out of Kate's room when Kate was trying to study. And then moments later, it was inevitably followed by, "Mary, will you please stop humming?" One of Mary's natural strengths was her leadership ability, and she was chosen to be a Westlake High teen teaching honcho, or leader for 2 years. That was like when she was older. She especially loved her involvement with service opportunities, and she was honored to be invited to the Sea Society, a very special philanthropic organization during her junior and senior years in high school. And finally, at Tulane, a city she was falling in love with, Mary was finding a way to do it all, and she was doing everything so well. Little Mary was curious about the world and loved traveling. She was introduced to camping and canoeing from a very young age. She spent a good deal of time fishing and roaming the piney woods of East Texas. Little Sandy, I heard a lot about that place. She spent a month each summer at Camp Mystic and loved the freedom of being outdoors in that beautiful place on the Guadalupe River. She also loved the beach and looked forward to being outdoors and reunions on the coast of South Carolina with the Travis family, where she was the youngest of 20 of us who would gather there every summer. And you wouldn't have known she was the youngest. She was never a shrinking violet there. She especially loved building sandcastles, and we were equipped. We packed shovels when we went to the beach. She also enjoyed teasing her older boy cousins. There's one. One day, my sister Kit was sitting in her room, and my nephew Ray ran in, closed the door behind him fast, and Kit said, "Ray, what's up?" He said, "I'm hiding from Mary." Moments later, there's a knock at the door, and the voice says, "Open the door, it's not me." She was really tricky. And she kept us on our toes. Mary enjoyed skiing trips in New Mexico, especially because there were so many people to meet. She talked to everyone in the ski lift line, and within a couple of days, the family would be skiing down the slopes, and there would be people, "Hey, Mary!" Everyone knew Mary. They'd call out to her and wave and greeted her by name, and she knew them all, where they lived, where they went to camp, their birthdays. It was amazing. She went on vacations to many other locations in the U.S., and she traveled abroad with family to England and Spain and most recently Mexico. On one long flight home from Spain, Mary became best friends with one of the flight attendants, who was thoroughly entertained by her antics. Other highlights for Mary were when she spent 10 days at UCLA for a people-to-people leadership symposium, and when she went to South Korea for a student exchange program. She planned to study in Florence this coming summer, fall semester, and she was so excited about that. She learned a lot through her travels, but what was most striking about Mary's adventures was the way she befriended strangers and left them enchanted with her openness and friendliness. So here's an example of an encounter I just found out about. Anne and Edward received this email a couple of weeks ago. "Hello, my name is Hobart. I am positive you don't know me, but I met Mary on a flight this last February. I was sitting by myself in the aisle seat when a beautiful young lady comes up and asks to sit by the window, which of course I oblige. She immediately introduces herself to me as Mary and starts up a conversation. We talked the whole flight, during our layover in Houston, and the next flight. Everything from her sorority, which she loved, to me giving her advice on her business degree. The thing that struck my mind afterwards was how positive and happy she was, a beautiful person inside and out. I never kept in touch with her much afterwards, but, you know, Facebook has an odd way of suggesting friends to you. From time to time, she would pop up on my suggested friends list. I would check up on her every so often to see how things were going and see her pictures and her huge smile. And she always had pictures of group photos of her sorority that she seemed to love so much. Tonight, when she came up on my Facebook page and I clicked on it. And I saw the dreaded news and broke down in tears. I decided I would email you personally and let you know of the time that Mary left a huge impact on my life, even when I had only met her for a few hours. My deepest condolences go out to you and your family for your loss. My memories of Mary will last forever. Thank you, Hobart. Mary had some health challenges, including an opening in her heart, which took two procedures to repair when she was 10 and 11 years old. Then, after 9 years of trying various treatments for scoliosis, she underwent spinal fusion, which, if you've ever done that or known somebody who's done that, that's a very, very difficult thing to go through. But Mary was determined. She was released from the hospital six days after spinal fusion surgery on her 16th birthday. And 2 weeks later, she passed her driver's test for her driver's license. And you think about trying to parallel park when you can't turn your head around. And she did that. And she drove herself to school the very next week. So having a tonsillectomy last December, I guess, was a walk in the park for little Mary. She was a very empathetic and sensitive person. She was totally non-judgmental and believed in fairness and acceptance for all. She had strong convictions and voiced them with confidence. But she still respected other people's opinions and sought out other people's opinions. The most important part of Mary's life to her was her family and friends, who she loved with great devotion. We have heard from many of her closest friends, and they all emphasize how Mary was the one who brought people together and who had all the fun ideas. She knew how to brighten anyone's day, whether by sharing a funny story, and she had a few, and giving a hug or simply listening. Mary was very savvy about relationships, and she gave good personal advice to others. She also generously gave her time to her friends when they needed help with projects or with studying. Mary balanced herself by spending time painting and doing other arts and crafts, listening to music, and collecting inspirational quotes. One of her favorites was by John Lennon. It goes like this: "Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end." This quote reminds us that Mary's death is not just an ending. Through our thoughts and efforts, it can also be a beginning. If we each honor the principles that Mary stood for: fairness, honesty, service, and optimism. Mary's optimism was evident in her ever-present smile. She was a long-legged girl with a heart of gold, and we will miss her terribly. But she will live on in the hearts and memories of those who love her, in the beauty that surrounds us, and through our work towards making the world a better place for all. Thank you very much for coming.
Hi, I'm Travis, Mary's cousin. I'd like to invite all of you to join me in the spirit of meditation and prayer, which will be followed by a moment of silence. Spirit of life and love, God of many names, we pause today in humble gratitude for the gift of life, honoring the full life of our beloved Mary, the unique gifts she brought into the world, her smile, her laugh, and her loving spirit that touched us so deeply. In our moments of great sadness, we know that absence is full of tender presence and that nothing is ever lost or forgotten. We mourn the loss, but know that she dwells in the rhythm of our breath and in our hearts forever. We remember Mary's love like the dawn, brightening over our lives, even in the darkest of times. We continue to be inspired by Mary's life, to enter each day with a generous heart, to serve the call of courage and love. May we move from despair to hope, from frustration to acceptance, from mourning death to celebrating life. May infinite love live on within us and through us always. May peace fill our hearts. Thank you. Now, we'd like to invite some folks to come up and share some stories, thoughts, and memories of Mary. You know, we can go ahead and start lining up by the side of the stage. If you think of something you'd like to say as we're talking, you know, just come on up at any time. I'm going to start us off, and we'll follow that up with one of Mary's dear friends, Walker. You know, most of my memories of Mary are from when we would go to the beach every summer. You know, she was always little Mary that was just full of energy. I mean, she was a spark plug, and she was nonstop. You know, one of our favorite games that all the cousins would play was this game called Squishy Banana, and I don't know how many of you people are familiar with that game, but basically you have one person who's it, and everybody else hides in the house. And I don't think Mary was ever it, because nobody ever found her first. I think she might have had a little bit of help from her father, but she would hide in just the craziest of places, a cabinet above the refrigerator. I mean, it was, you know, nobody would ever find Mary. It was just crazy. And I remember one time, you know, she was, you know, right next to me, Travis, you got to listen to this song I made on the computer, and you know, just you kept on bugging me about it. Oh, you got to come listen to this. I'm like, oh, God, what is this little girl like? What kind of song could she have possibly made on the computer? And then when she showed me, I was just blown away. Like, how could this young little girl come up with something so creative and so awesome? It just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. You know, one of my more recent memories of Mary was when she came and stayed with me and my girlfriend Katie in Atlanta. And, you know, we just, we didn't do anything. We just sat around, and we talked, and, you know, we laughed, and, you know, just talked about life and, you know, what was going on with her life that was exciting, and, you know, she wanted to know what was up with us that was exciting, and, you know, it was just a good time, just spending time with somebody when you can just sit down and talk to them, and you can't do that with everyone. Enough. Someone said something funny to me the other day. It's, you know, life is crazy and it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, after all this craziness, no one's ever figured out how to make it out of life alive. And it's true. You know, we have a finite amount of time here, you know, and it's so short and it's so crazy and it doesn't make sense. But, you know, throughout all this craziness, I think you got to keep two things in mind. And one is, how does what you do every day in your everyday life, how does that affect others? Does it make people laugh? Does it make them happy? Is it positive? And then the second is, what type of legacy will you leave when you're gone? You know, will that leave good memories? Will it inspire people? And I mean, you look around and there's standing room only. I mean, it's, Mary got it. She got it right. She got life right. She really did. And so, you know, we all thank her for that. So thank you, and Walker, why don't you come up and share?
Hi, everyone. I'm Walker. I'm Mary's roommate at Tulane. I know that if Mary's out there listening to this, she's probably waiting for me to embarrass myself, and she'd laugh at me, and it would go like that basically every day. She was always way more poised and collected and way more organized than I was. I met Mary second semester our freshman year. We spent Rush together and both joined Chi Omega. On bid day in our first picture together, Mary looks gorgeous and tall, and she's holding her bid card out like this, and I'm next to her, and I look like a dork, and mine's upside down, and I'm just as excited. As soon as we joined Kayo, we were absolutely inseparable. Recently, even, someone started to mix us up. Somebody would look at me, and they'd be like, Mary, oh, I'm so sorry, I mean Walker. Wait, you guys are roommates. I mean, you're always together. You're basically like the same person. And we kind of were. This year, we spent so much time together that I think we developed our own horrible, horrible brand of humor. I could be up here telling you all the bad jokes, Bo Burnham stand-up, and funny vines we used to quote, and I know I'd butcher them, and Mary would laugh at me like she always does. Mary taught me, and I'm sure all of you guys, so many things. I'm a messy person, I'm not gonna lie. However, I at least feel the need to clean up every once in a while. Mary, however, did not. Our room was an absolute pigsty. I'm guilty too, but she was so nonchalant about the mess that I was totally fine living in a jungle of dirty clothes. At the beginning of the year, people came over to our room and we'd apologize for the mess and reassure people that, yeah, we're gonna clean up, we're so, so sorry. But recently it became known that we were most definitely not gonna clean it up. So we'd laugh and we'd push something aside on the couch so that people would actually have somewhere to sit. But Mary taught me that there are so many more important things in life than keeping your room clean. Sorry. Be nice. Mary was an impeccable judge of character. She surrounded herself with great people and virtually no drama because if someone wasn't nice, she didn't see a reason to be around them. Recently, our sorority had a meeting to decide target words to use during rush, adjectives that describe the ideal member that we were looking for. People tossed around things like determined, authentic, dazzling, and a bunch of others, but Mary turned to me and she said, I know it sounds so simple, but what about nice? And she's right, she was so inherently nice. Once she walked up to me in our student center where I was doing some homework and just said, hey, I did your laundry. Be bold. Mary was such a bold presence, someone who I'm so lucky to have called my best friend. One bold move on Mary's part was that she did not hesitate in asking to try our food. No matter what the food was or who we were with, she always asked to try something and everything that was on the table. She would look at me and then look at my food and then say, can I just try a little snib-nib? I really learned how to share and spend money on food, especially Asian food. Be spontaneous. Last year, Mary and I went to the beach with a group of girls from our pledge class for spring break. Mary convinced me that it would be so, so cute to dye her hair blonde for the summer. So off we were to the grocery store to pick out a box of hair dye. I'm pretty sure I spent $7 on dyeing my hair blonde. As we applied the hair dye, her hair was looking normal and mine turned bright yellow. Did it look horrible? Absolutely. I kept asking Mary how it looked, and she'd say, oh my God, so much better than it did 30 minutes ago. And I would say, but that's what you said 30 minutes ago. And she was like, yeah, well, I'm trying to make you feel better, but now it looks so much better. And then 30 minutes later, it would repeat. Yeah, my hair looked horrible for 2 months, but I don't regret it at all. Good stories come out of spontaneity. Be passionate. This is part of what made our room so messy. Mary was so passionate about art, and I think that's one of the things that made us such good friends. We were always doing art. She recently switched from pre-law to an art minor and was so happy to have followed her passion. Laugh. We were so often night owls, staying up until the wee hours just to say stupid things and make each other giggle. That's what Mary was, someone to laugh with me and at me. Be loud. Mary and I both come from families that have a love-hate relationship with our singing voices. So when we were put together, there was 24/7 singing. We also developed a habit of yelling whenever we felt like it. We would yell outside, in our room, in restaurants, on the quad, anywhere. It was really fun and hilarious and really freeing. Be loving. Mary gave her all to the people she loved. She made a point of letting us know, too. She would leave me little notes in my wallet. Tell people that you love them. It's funny, the people that come in and out of our lives, what they teach us, and the way they make us feel. I remember looking at Mary the other day and thinking that she was by far the best friend that I've ever had. I want you all to know that Mary was good, even just a few days ago. I will not remember Mary for the way she left us. It's so hard to suffer this loss, but it's important to keep her alive by adopting the traits she embodied. I'll remember Mary forever, and our keeper with me by remembering to be nice and not tolerating rudeness. I'll be bold and ask for food when I want to try it. We have to be spontaneous and laugh and follow our passions. We have to feel and sing and yell, and very importantly, we have to love with all of our heart. And then if you can be all these things, maybe it's time to be neat and clean your room. Thank you, Ed and Anne, for raising such an extraordinary person. Thank you to everyone that's here that knew her and loved her. I'll be missing you forever, Mary. You deserve all the love in the world. Thank you.
My name is Emily Mayer. I'm a senior at Tulane. I'm in Kaya with Mary, and I was her Nukem Big sister at Tulane. And so the way that Nukem Big and Little Sisters works at Tulane is they pair up young incoming freshman women with an older girl at Tulane, usually a sophomore or a junior, so that you can see what Tulane is like and help them find their way through college. And Mary told me that I was handpicked to be hers by her orientation leader over the summer because they knew we would be good friends. The first night we were supposed to meet each other, there was a back-to-school concert on campus at the exact same time that there was our official pinning ceremony, which is, if you've ever been to an official pinning ceremony, they're not that much fun. And I had already done it once before, and Mary and I, we were scheduled to meet a few minutes before the ceremony, and she walks up to me looking beautiful. I was like, wow, she dressed up. I'm wearing sweats. And she looks at me for a second, and she stands there doing her little, like, awkward knee-knocking dance, and she goes, I'm sorry, but I made some friends, and we all want to go out tonight. I hope that's okay. Can we just do a recap of the pinning ceremony later? I hope you don't hate me. And I didn't hate her at all. She was so cool. She already had friends. My plans for the first night back to school were, like, going to this pinning ceremony and then going to sleep, so she was really cool. So she went. She did that. I didn't go to the pinning ceremony and hung out by myself, which was fun, too. But flash forward through the rest of the semester, where Mary and I hung out all the time. You know, we were much closer than most of the Nukem Big and Little Sisters. And since I was already in a sorority and she wanted to be in one, we weren't actually allowed to hang out. Tulane has rules where, you know, you can't be friends with the younger girls even though you want to be friends with them. And I did everything I could to spend time with her but still make it be, like, sort of okay. We broke every single rule. I had her in my car. We went out to lunch together. We would go on trips to buy her a bicycle, and she was like, oh, it'll just be a 20-minute trip. I need to go pick up a bike from Walmart. And that turned into a 4.5-hour experience where we were going all over town. We had tacos and dessert. We looked at 100 bikes, didn't get any bikes. But every way through the whole trip and through that whole first semester, she was amazing, and I fell in love with this girl, and she was so inspiring, and she wanted to explore and adventure and see Tulane and break out of the Tulane bubble that, you know, where kids hang out on campus. And she wanted to see it all through the eyes of an older kid and really understand where she lives. And as she fell in love with New Orleans, I fell in love with her, but I still had to play it cool. So when it was the actual bid process, the preference night at Tulane for sorority stuff, she was the only girl that Kaya would let me talk to because I got really excited about her. I actually stood in front of a chair in front of 170 girls in our sorority and was telling them all about Queen Travis and how much I loved her and how mature and amazing and beautiful she was and how everything she did it intentionally and she did it with passion and how she, just as Walker was saying, just as Big Mary was saying, she loved every person that she ever met. And that never changed. Throughout the year and a half that I had with Mary, every time we would go anywhere, she would make a new friend. Every time I saw her, she was telling me about a new story about someone she met or what she did when she was on adventures. And her passion for everything she did, she was just so excited to remember it and make a connection and then tell everyone about what great things she experienced. But she was just beautiful in her heart and in her soul, and everything she did, I looked up to her. I'm a few years older than her, but she inspired me more than so many people I've ever met. With her passion for life and adventure and all of her artistic qualities and just the life that she breathed into everyone. You know, I've seen so few people, and I've met a few people, and she just sent so much love out into the world and welcomed it back in as well. Whenever I leave people, instead of saying bye or laters, baby, or see you later or anything like that, I always say, have fun, do fun things. And most people look at me like I'm really weird because they're like, well, of course I'll have fun, bye, I'm weird. But Mary got it. She understood it, and she took it to heart in the same way that I always meant it. And she was like, of course I'll have fun, of course I'll do fun things. But it really, I always mean it as a true well-wishing, you know, to enjoy life and to have fun, you really have to like own your fun. You have to accept it and welcome it into your life. You can't just turn it away and be like, oh, fun things are happening, I'm just going to shove that to the side. And then also to do fun things. You know, Mary actively went out and she did things that would make her happy every day she was alive. Everything she did was based on how fun it would be and what she'd get out of it in such a great sense. She really milked every opportunity for the most fun and all the great things that could come from it. So whenever I would say to her, have fun, do fun things, she just got it. And she embodied that more than anyone I've ever met. And I hoped for me telling everyone, have fun, do fun things, that I could enjoy life as much as she did. And all the way through this past semester, she explored and she was happy and everything she did was still just filled with so much love. So when you guys go out, when you leave here today, have fun and do fun things. Just take hold of the things that you love most in life. I love sending emails, so like I wrote this little note in an email to myself. Even if it's small, just hold on to what you love and welcome love and happiness into your life. I know Mary would be proud to see me being like, yeah, tell people to have fun. So if you guys just go out and love everything, think of Mary along the way. Think of all the things that you love doing or that you love doing with Mary, and just hold on tight to those. I know that when I leave here, I'll be having fun for the both of us, so yay fun, yay everything. Thanks.
Hi. My name is Rachel Bondi, and Mary was one of my closest friends at Tulane. I became close with Mary last spring break, as Walker mentioned, when me, Mary, and a small group of girls in our sorority spent a few days at Gulf Shore together after Mardi Gras. I fell in love with Mary when she showed up at our beach condo with a Wendy's Baconator, a double-stuffed potato, and a few boxes of hair dye. We dyed our hair in the bathtub while we blasted country music and ate Kit Kats and chips. Mary's spontaneous nature was absolutely contagious, and that is one of the most beautiful parts of her that I'll miss. There was nothing that I couldn't tell Mary. Her compassion and loyalty to her friends was unwavering and deep. She was the type of friend that supported you no matter what the circumstances were. There was absolutely no judgment, only support. She made me feel safe, and she made me feel loved. This October, Mary, Walker, Kat, and I decided to road trip 12 hours to Kentucky for fall break to visit Walker's extended family. We stayed in a beautiful farmhouse, went to the horse races, won $25. Kat lost five of the dollars. We cooked dinner, meaning me and Mary cooked dinner, Walker and Kat did not. And we ate a lot of Wendy's on the road. Just before the trip, as Walker mentioned, Mary and Walker started to do this thing where they would yell whenever they felt overwhelmed or sad or excited. Because when in your life do you yell? Why not yell? Why not make noise? You're alive. So, in Kentucky, we yelled. We lived. We climbed Red River Gorge and meditated on top of a mountain overlooking thousands of red and golden October leaves. And then we yelled at the top of our lungs. And in that moment, I felt more alive than ever before, with three of the most beautiful and loyal friends that I'll ever have in my life. Mary's voice was clear, passionate, and strong. She knew how to express herself in her art and in her words. It was clear when Mary didn't like something, and I loved her directness. This directness was not aggressive or overwhelming. It was graceful and poised. I strive to someday carry myself as gracefully as she did. She was truly a beautiful woman inside and out. In the week since Mary's passing, we have cried together and laughed together. This Thanksgiving, I ate a Baconator. A couple of weeks ago, Kat, Tej, and I visited Walker in Oregon, and we climbed a mountain and yelled at the top of it. I'm sure Mary heard us. It breaks my heart that Mary struggled so intensely. It breaks my heart that I will never see her smile again. I'm confused and sometimes I'm angry, but I know for certain that Mary's soul is radiant and light and will forever live in the people who loved her. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I was friends with Mary in high school. My senior year and Mary's junior year, I applied for Pernellis, which she was honcho of, and I could have never imagined that I would find my best friend through that. When I spent my freshman year here in Austin, when Mary was still in high school, and whenever I was having a bad day, Mary was at my house in probably 5 minutes. I don't know how, because her house was not 5 minutes from mine, but whenever I needed her, she was there. She would take me to a random food truck that she knew of, because as you've already heard, she loved to eat. And we'd get on Pinterest and get recipes off Pinterest and totally butcher them, but it was still fun, completely messing up my parents' kitchen. She would stay over at my house and we'd watch Netflix. She got me to go to a protest at the Capitol. And we would just sit around and talk about politics and random stuff. When Mary and I were both in Austin, once we left for college, when we were both here, we were pretty much inseparable and came as a package deal. Sometimes she would show up at my house and I was still asleep and wake me up and say, "Get up, we're going shopping today." Or she'd come over and I'd be playing Call of Duty, which she did not like at all. But she would still sit there and watch me. Or my little brother would ask her to come watch him play his game on his computer, and she sat there, and she thought it was the coolest thing ever, and my brother loved her to death. Mary and I's favorite restaurant to go to was Lotus Hunan. Every time she got in town, we'd go there, and I would get a whole plate, and I would never finish it, but I knew that if I bought it, Mary would finish it. And 3 days after her getting her tonsils out last Christmas, she called me and she said, "Hey, I'm on my way to your house. Can we go to Lotus?" I don't know how she thought she was going to eat that, but I say all of these things because Mary was truly one of the greatest friends that I had. And I think I speak for all of her friends when I say that she cared so much about each and every one of her friends. Before Mary left for Tulane, last year, and I left for Texas State, she gave me a present, and Mary was great at giving presents. And she got a coffee mug, a white coffee mug, and she drew the outline of Texas and the outline of Louisiana, and she made a line from San Marcos to New Orleans. And on the cup it said, "Together forever, never apart, maybe in distance, but never at heart." And I think that right now that it could not be more true. Mary will forever be in all of our hearts. And I miss her so much, and I know all of y'all do too. But she has inspired me so much. She's made me a happier person, a more joyful person. And I'm so grateful that I got to spend the 3 years that I did with her. Thank you.
Up real quick. Hi everyone, my name is Neil and I was a friend of Mary's at Tulane. Really warms my heart today to see all these faces, all these people here today, because it shows how much Mary touched us in numerous ways. Mary touched us with her kind heart, one that had the capacity to love and care for anyone regardless of the relationship to her. She touched us with her charisma. People loved and listened to her. She touched us with her spontaneity and adventurous spirit. She touched us with her vibrant personality that made every moment exciting. She touched us with stories or experiences she told to any and everyone because she wanted them to be a part of her life. She touched us with her contagious smile. People could not help but smile when they saw her face. Mary had many strengths, but one strength made apparent to me was that she could always tell when something was wrong. I remember when a family friend of mine passed away a few weeks before Mary did. We were tabling for one of our student organizations. She never went to the meetings. My sister had planned on coming to New Orleans for homecoming weekend. I was on the phone talking to my sister because she was with the family of a friend who passed away, and she was uncertain whether or not she was coming down to New Orleans. It was a tough day that had me missing my family tremendously, and seeing my sister would have uplifted my spirits. After I got off the phone, Mary immediately noticed something was wrong and asked me if I was okay while no one else thought any differently. Asking someone how he or she feels may not seem like much, but it meant so much to me how much Mary cared. Mary always knew how to make someone feel better. She certainly made me feel better that day. Mary was a beautiful individual. She was intelligent, definitely more than me, except for in accounting. She was creative, artistic, funny, a whistling and humming master, and spontaneous, to name a few. From drawing beautiful artwork, to original and not-so-original yik-yaks, to tea party costume ideas, to Halloween costume ideas, to Kayo auction chairs, to water coolers, to her ridiculous class scheduling skills, she truly had a gift. Mary was special. She was beautiful on the inside and outside. Her infectious smile and laugh could light up a room the moment she stepped in it. Her model-like height and long blonde hair was a dazzling combo. I remember when she talked about her experiences in South Korea, where people would stop her and ask her for a picture, because seeing a tall blonde girl was like seeing a celebrity to them. Mary was hilarious, always making me smile with her jokes and unique personality. She loved everyone, and everyone loved her. Recently, she talked to me about her plans to start a tradition of family dinners for our friends next semester, and when we moved off campus. I still remember her mentioning that she would make the first meal. It was a simple one. It would consist of chicken and potatoes. I'm pretty sure that's all she could make. I hope to carry this tradition for two reasons. The first reason is in honor of Mary, and the second is to always remember to take out time for your family, because family is not an important thing. It's everything. I remember one of the first times I hung out with Mary. It was at The Fly. The Fly is more of like a prairie with Mississippi River right beside it. It sure was a fun day that I'll always cherish. On the way back through Audubon Park, Mary and I walked together in the back of the group. She talked to me about how she felt like we were Walker's friends and not her friends. I remember that day as a turning point. That day started a new chapter of my life, with Mary being a core part of it. That day was the beginning of our relationship as best friends. She was a crucial part of so many lives and formed wonderful memories with so many of us. I'll always remember these memories I shared with Mary, no matter how significant or minuscule they were. I'll never forget Facebook stalking your friends from home in Bruff, our Bruff sessions, eating lunch in the LBC before accounting on Tuesdays and Thursdays, making me coffee with a French press while we did homework, asking for a bite of my food every time we out together, listening to the song Express Yourself at least 6 times on Halloween Day, texting her and Walker to get out of their beds and broth with me, my first time eating Sukhothai, 2 Lane football games together, 1 meetings when she actually went, coming to my room after class and falling asleep in my bed while I did homework or watched TV, watching Sam and I play FIFA, eating Nutella in my bed and talking to Alex and me. Honors weekend with the Prosbys. Our Cafe Ferrette lunch with Sam. Mardi Gras. Hearing about her fall break adventures. Our spontaneous trip to Raising Cane's with Sam in exchange for half of a chicken tender from each of us. Having nicknames for each other like Sneal or Smary or Snick. Josh and I accidentally distracting Mary while also getting distracted writing our papers in the Soho courtyard by little children, and many, many more. Death is a subject no one truly understands. It takes us away in many ways and forms. No one definitively knows what happens to the soul in the afterlife. If there is a heaven, I know Mary's infecting it with her beautiful smile. If there is reincarnation, Mary's reincarnated as the most beautiful rose. Mary is like a rose in so many ways. Roses are beautiful to the eye, much like Mary was. Roses have thorns to show they are strong and not to be taken lightly. Mary was sweet, but she was also a strong and independent individual. Lastly, roses symbolize the love and compassion that Mary most certainly had for her friends and family. One of my new favorite quotes I believe Mary would appreciate is from the movie Lilo and Stitch. Stitch says, "Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Friends are the family we choose, and Mary will always be part of my family. She will never get left behind or forgotten because the memories of her will remain in my heart for the rest of my life. Thank you, Mary, for being a special part of my life. Thank you, Mary, for always being there for me when I needed you. Thank you, Mary, for all the wonderful memories we shared. Thank you, Mary, for your friendship. You will truly be missed and remembered for the rest of my life. Rest in peace, dear friend. I love you forever and always, Mary. Thank you.
I'm Kelly. I'm Mary's cousin, and I have here a couple of things that other people have written, and I would be happy to read for anyone else who feels like they can't come up and speak. I know how hard that can be. This is from Caitlin Banky. The day we all got the news that Mary was gone, an influx of messages from friends poured my way. So many sorries, and I'm here for yous. At first, I felt like these messages should be going to Mary's family and not me, but then I realized they were going to family. Mary and I were family. Even in my phone, she changed her last name to be hyphenated, Travis Banky. Mary was another sister, another daughter, another member of the Banky family. Mary and I met in middle school and really got to know each other when we started high school. She was the sweetest, most giving person I had met. We just clicked together. And soon, I think she lived at my house more than her own. There came a point when her parents didn't bother to ask if we were going to be together next weekend. It was assumed. I remember being the first friend to visit Mary in the hospital after her back surgery and helping her get through ACL shortly after. I remember our first dive into the world of cake balls, which it turned out we were very good at making. Mary was always a great chef. I remember bringing her on our family vacation to Port Aransas, where she got strep for the very first time. When my sister could no longer come on a family vacation to Vegas, there was no question that Mary would come instead. We decided once that even if Mary did not become an event planner, she would still be the one to plan my wedding. I knew it would be perfect. Mary would make sure anything was perfect. As we got older, we did what family often does. We started going our separate ways, making new friends and progressing on our own. Mary and I didn't talk as often or spend as much time together, but when we did, that connection and friendship never lessened. When seeing each other after quite some time, nothing had changed. We would still finish each other's sentences instinctually. She was still the first one I told any big news to, good or bad, and the one to celebrate or cry with either way. Like true sisters, time or distance had nothing on me and Mary. Mary was a beacon of light. Nothing I can say will ever do her justice. I called her Marigold, with each petal of her personality bringing ever more joy to those around her. She would do anything for you, no matter how well she knew you. She would spend hours helping others with homework, crafts, or life. Even if the outcome had no effect on her, Mary would do her very best to solve any problem her friends faced. Mary taught me that the best way to give is not through presents or fixing easy problems. It's through investing time and love into every relationship you develop. Many times, Mary knew me better than I knew myself. One time, when thinking of what to give someone who gives endlessly to you, I discovered the perfect gift. It was a customized canvas picture. I printed on it a picture of us with the quote at the bottom. It read, "A true friend is one soul in two bodies." That was us. Mary and I were one shared soul, split into two lives to explore more of the world. And as we explore, we both grew, teaching each other of life along the way. One of the last times I saw Mary, she showed me a necklace that she wanted so very badly, but she already had one that she wore every day. 1 month ago, I bought that necklace. And now I will wear it every day for Mary. I will live carrying a part of her soul in my heart forever as her sun shines through my life. For you all, always remember the things Mary did for you and give to others the way she gave to you. Take the kindness she invested in you and spread it to everyone you meet. Mary's kindness can make miracles happen if we continue to give it as she did. So let's give. I also have a piece from Nancy, Caitlin's mother. Mary and my daughter Caitlin were nearly inseparable throughout much of high school, and Mary became a very welcomed honorary member of our family. She joined our family for celebrations, cheer competitions, weekend getaways, and just to hang out. We loved her fun-loving, spirited outlook and appreciated the joy that her enthusiasm and energy brought to our family. I have such warm memories of the girls in a flurry up in Caitlin's room getting glamorous together for homecoming dances, proms, or other special events throughout high school. Makeup brushes flying, heels clanking, music reverberating down the hall. They helped each other add just the right touches to complete their stunning looks. They would emerge radiant, ready to take on the world, or at least Westlake High School. It wasn't a special occasion without Mary at our house sharing these good times with Caitlin. I don't know how Caitlin has been able to figure out how to dress for special occasions at college these past few years without Mary by her side. Speaking of getting glamorous, I will never forget the time we took Mary and Caitlin to Las Vegas for a quick getaway. After shopping in the afternoon, the girls donned their new outfits and we took an evening walk down the strip to take in the lights of Vegas. Mary was shocked and a little flattered by the attention she and Caitlin were getting from the guys on the street. I can still remember the wide-eyed look on her face when she was handed cards for free entry into numerous clubs. She finally had to tell them that she was only 17. But Mary also had to experience some not-so-glamorous times. I remember when Caitlin and I visited her in the hospital after her spine surgery. She was in so much pain she could barely speak. Our hearts broke for her. It's so difficult to see a special friend suffer so much pain. What made it even more difficult for Mary is that she had some bad reactions to the pain meds, so she seemed to be fighting a losing battle. She had her mind set on getting home for her birthday just days later. And as much as Caitlin and I wanted that wish to come true, we just didn't see how it could happen, given the state she was in at the time. But much to our surprise, Mary's courage and tenacity won out, and she celebrated her birthday in the comfort of her own home. While the girls moved on to attend different colleges, their friendship remained solid, faithful, and unwavering. We could always count on a visit from Mary during any college break, and each time we looked forward to hearing about her latest adventures. Mary left us way too soon. Abraham Lincoln once said, "It's not the years in your life that count, but the life in your years." Mary certainly filled her short years with a lot of life. She touched so many people in so many ways. She was a one-of-a-kind gem that you couldn't help but love. She was a treasured member of our family. Mary lit up the room with her infectious smile, and from this day forward, whenever I look at the night sky, I will look for the brightest star and know that it is Mary's smile beaming from above. From your Banky family, we love you, Mary Travis, and we will miss you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christy Savage, and we're good friends with the Travises. So I wrote down all this stuff, but I don't think I can do it. So it comes down to this. The Travises adopted us. We adopted the Travises. I'm sure they looked at us when we were dragging our kids down the street screaming, thinking, okay, these are new parents, right? We must help them. So through the years, we figured out, okay, they like to camp. We like to camp. They like to eat. We like to eat. So many things that we had in common. Anne said, go work in the library at Highland Park. I have been working in the library at Highland Park for years now. But I think the thing that solidified our relationship is the spirit of competition. Now, in the Savages, this comes very naturally from their parents. My three children are firm believers, not in the agony of defeat, but I think more in the anger of defeat. The Travis girls, highly competitive. Their parents are not. I don't understand where it came from, but so Mary would get off the bus every day and run down to our house to see what was for snack. And wouldn't be home yet, maybe, or she would, but she would still come down and to see what we could eat at our house. And then she would patiently sit with my kids, and they would play freeze tag, and she would run around that house 100 times, probably. But the best game for them indoor was this game of sardines, which Mary introduced us to, which we didn't really know. We knew hide and seek, we knew freeze tag, we knew spoons and wink, and Kate and Mary would sit down with my kids. But this game of sardines, where one person hides, and then everybody looks for that person and hides with them. So for an hour almost one time, I'm sure it was over 30 minutes, they could not find Mary. And they looked and looked, and I looked and looked, and then I thought, did she leave? Should I call Ann? What should I do? And she was in my car. And she was, you know, she had found some book, and so she was just going to sit in my car until someone found her, which we never did. And she finally, we were outside, and I think she saw the look of panic on my face. And so she finally came out of the car. And I thought, you know, she was sweaty and hot, and I thought, I think you need some water. But the best part of our time with the girls, we had these kickball games. And Mary was the manager. I think if she had been introduced to, like, Skull at the time, she probably would have tried that too. But she would arrange the playing field. Now, we would have, you know, that time my kids were little, and so we would probably have 10 or 15 little kids from the neighborhood, plus Mary and Kate. And so Mary would decide the teams, and it was always my husband and I against all the kids. And so we would be out in the street, and Mary would decide where everybody was playing. And so she was the pitcher, of course, and Kate was the outfield. Now, she had, like, 20 other kids, but Kate was always in the outfield. And so my husband and I were like, yeah, we got this. And no matter where we kicked that ball, Kate could get to it. I mean, even if we kicked it over her head, by the time we ran around the bases, Mary would have that ball in her hands because Kate would have gotten it to her. So we never won, which was quite disappointing to my husband and I. And Mary never let my kids win either. So they had to work. And she was always very nice when she would beat them as they were crying and mad. She would say, oh, you know, next time we'll get a, you know. So we had a lot of kickball games. We had a lot of sharing when Mary opened her library in her room. My kids were the first with borrowing cards, and we would go down to her closet and open it up and go through all the books, and that was a big day for the Savages. But one of my greatest memories, so you know, as parents, some of you may have gone through this, when you first get babysitters, and you first get babysitters that you know. So it's not like the babysitter that comes and you think, oh, I'll pay them this. So it was Kate and Mary together, they came the first time, and I thought, oh, you know, Ann, what should I pay them? Should I pay them double? What should I pay them? And she said, oh, you know, work it out with the girls. And so so I came home, and I did that, you know, you chat with the babysitters for a little while before you walk into the door. And so we got to the door, and I said, well, you know, I'm not quite sure what to pay you guys. What do you think? And, you know, Kate said, oh, whatever. You know, and so I said, well, how about, I don't remember how much it was. It wasn't quite double, but it wasn't, you know, like the normal, because this was Kate and Mary. I couldn't give them less, right? So Kate said, oh, oh no, Miss Savage, that's way too much. And you know what I'm going to say, right? And so just as I was about to say, well, okay, what do you think? So I'm saying, well, okay. And Mary grabbed that money, and she said, oh, no, that is just great. Kate, let's go. And so... And I was laughing. I called Anne. I said, oh, my gosh, this girl of yours. So that was sort of the relationship that the Savages have with the Travises. We've spent Thanksgiving with them for several years now, and they've been so patient as, you know, we made the gravy, which the gravy is a big thing at our Thanksgiving, and it's always late. And so Margaret, my daughter, and Mary would sit at the bar and eat this pear jelly with cheese. And they would, you know, it was almost like fighting for the pear jelly and the cheese. And they would finish it all. No one else would get any. And then finally the gravy would get ready. So we would all sit down. And they endured our little traditions of the Thanksgiving tree where we all put our things that we were thankful for. And we've spent lots and lots and lots of time with those two girls. So it has been very hard for me to figure out how to wrap my mind around all of this. And so I thought the only thing I could kind of get myself to was this idea of how parents and friends must have felt when their kids left, you know, years ago to go west or go to the new lands. And you know, every once in a while you'd get a little letter maybe. But that's kind of how I feel. I feel like Mary has sort of gone on and gone somewhere, and every once in a while, you know, I think I'll get these little letters, like next Thanksgiving when we have the pear jelly, or when I see kids playing kickball, or just all of the conversations we had about books, too. I think of these things as my little letters for Mary. So, sorry. So, I think if all of us are patient, I think we will all receive some letters from Mary. Thank you.
My name's Carmen. And in 1993, we met at Easter Seals Daycare. And we met there because at noon, we would come to breastfeed our oldest daughters. And so we'd sit at lunchtime and we'd talk while we fed them. And it was during these hours that we became friends, talking about our work, our husbands, our houses, but mostly about our children. We went through our second pregnancies together. Mary was born exactly 5 months after Sophia. We continued our friendship as our children attended the same daycares, same ballet classes, same Casa Montessori, not to mention all the little birthday parties at your house and my house. I remember many Sundays when our families would meet at the Y and we would all work out while the kids played in the daycare at the Y, and then afterward we'd go to Pokey Joe's for barbecue. Mary was bright and talkative and always full of energy and smiles and ready to play. Ed and Anne, you're the most devoted parents, and Kate, you're a gentle, patient, and kind sister, as much as anybody could ever hope for. You provided Mary with all the love, stability, care, and fun any child could hope for. As our girls went their separate ways to separate schools, and you made sure that we stayed in touch. You arranged regular gatherings at Crosby Springs and other places so that they could see each other once or twice a year at least. You saw to it that they kept in contact. This November 21st, I think it was, once again, you and I went to lunch. And all we did was talk about our girls, their plans, how they were doing, Mary's plans to go to Italy, where my daughter's going in January. It was one of our regular lunches. It was lighthearted, and we were catching up on news. And we had no idea what would wait for you that night, that phone call from Tulane. Now here we are gathered day after the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. And it's fitting, because in our hearts the situation and the sadness are as dark as we could imagine it to be. But you know that the darkest day of the year means that light has to be ahead. It may be hard to imagine now, but lighter days will come. All these people here today are your community, They all love you. We love you. Please know you're not alone, and use us. Use us in your journey to get to these brighter days.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kate, Mary's sister. Thank you so much for all those who have spoken before me. It's wonderful to hear so many uplifting and funny stories about Mary and know that her legacy is going to live on. It was exactly 1 month ago that we lost Mary, and every day since then has been exceedingly tough for me and for so many of you. Our hearts ache together. Words fail to adequately describe Mary and her wonderful life, but I'm going to try my best. Mary was beautiful, inside and out. She had a heart of gold. She was smart, fun, and she loved all of you very, very much. She was outgoing, adventurous, and stood out from the crowd with her huge personality and smile. And literally, she stood out and above from the crowd because she was 5'10" tall. And when she wore heels, she was taller than almost every boy. And that was something that always amused Mary very much. She was a great singer and practically put on concerts every time we got in the car and were driving. She was the best whistler I've ever met in my entire life. And she had better posture than anyone in this room, owing to the rod that she had in her back from back surgery. Mary and I grew up in a perfect home. We often joked that we had the two best parents in the entire world, which we do. And of course, we loved our many pets, dogs, a cat, a hamster, fish, and even a turtle that Mary and I rescued off of the middle of the highway. As kids, Mary and I spent our afternoons frolicking in the backyard, collecting acorns, playing on the seesaw that my dad built for us, getting carted around our neighborhood in a red wagon by our parents, setting up highly profitable lemonade stands, and riding around our driveway in rollerblades, and helmets. Elbow pads, knee pads, and wrist pads, of course. Thanks to Mom and Dad, who always kept us very, very safe. As we grew older, Mary and I became very different people, but we were always close. Mary was the more talkative, taller blonde, who people always thought was the older sister, much to my dismay. Occasionally, our differences sparked conflict. For instance, it was always a battle choosing what restaurant we would eat at because Mary wanted Asian food, always, and I never did. But almost all the time, our differences complemented each other extremely well. For instance, Mary was much better at cooking than me, and I'm more of a baker, so whenever we made meals for my parents on special occasions, we could make a full, delicious meal. Mary was a great writer, and I'm more into science, so we always helped each other out on school assignments. Mary loved music, and I really liked to shop, so I helped keep her closet stocked, and she helped keep my iTunes library stocked. It was a win-win situation for both of us, and together, I think we made a pretty stellar team. And now it seems like everything has changed. I would do anything to go back, reverse time, erase everything, piece back together our idyllic life, keep Mary with us. But I know this isn't possible, and it's going to take a while to truly accept this. When Mary passed, I told everyone that my heart was completely broken. It felt like a piece of me had been ripped out and tossed away. I'm sure many of you felt the same way. But I now know that we're not beyond repair. Our hearts hurt, but they're not broken forever. We're going to heal because we have Mary's memories and her inspiration to keep us intact. We can remember her smile her outgoing personality, and the way she made us feel happy and loved to help us cope with our loss. I know that she'll want us to go on with life with our heads up and with a smile. Mary collected quotes, some of which we put up on the walls, and I wanted to share a few with you. The first is, "Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, 'You owe me.' Look what happens with a love like that. It lights up the whole sky." This quote is special to me because Mary was like the sun in that she lit up so many lives, and she was constantly giving to others without asking for anything in return. If you were ever feeling down, she wouldn't hesitate for a second to drop everything and help you. The second quote is, "Be soft. Do not let the world make you hard. Do not let the pain make you hate. Do not let the bitterness steal your sweetness. Take pride that even though the rest of the world may disagree, you still believe it to be a beautiful place." And I wanted to share this quote because it reminds us that in the face of any hardship, like this tragedy, we must hold on to our optimism and our belief that life is good. Whenever we encounter a tough situation, we can think of Mary and remember this quote that tells us to cherish the beauty in life. And the last quote of Mary's collection that I wanted to share is, "I don't want to get to the end of my life and find out that I've only lived the length of it. I want to have lived the width as well." Mary really lived by this quote. She was passionate about her friends, her family, school, art, traveling, so much more. She was always looking for new experiences and new people to befriend. Though her life was too short, Mary definitely lived the length and the width of it, and even the diagonal, because that's how enthusiastic and fun-loving she was. These quotes have helped me with my own grief, and I hope that as you mourn, you can think back to these quotes and find some comfort in them. It's no cure, but it's a start. And I know that Mary would always wish us peace because that's what she always, always wished for other people. My family and I wanted to end the memorial with a slideshow to show off Mary and her huge smile. So we'll get that running in just a moment.
Anne, Ed, and Kate, thank all of you for coming today. I know I do. I really enjoyed hearing all the stories. I really appreciate your love and your concern and your support. We hope that by coming together today, we can all come closer to a state of peace. We hope you all can hang out and visit and look at Mary's artwork and pictures in the back and share stories about Mary. I do want to say to Mary that I'm sorry we couldn't have this event catered by P.F. Chang's, but there's some great refreshments afterwards. If you could just please gather outside so the chairs can be moved aside. And I'd like to end with the following. There is no answer to death but to live and to live life vigorously and beautifully. We give respect and dignity to the one we mourn only when we respect and dignify life. And when we live life to the fullest. The best of all answers to death is the continuing affirmation of life. So as we leave today, I remind you of our shared responsibility to continue telling the stories about Mary's life, to joke, to laugh, to give to others as Mary so generously did, and to share her gifts with generations as they grow. And most of all, to keep loving life as Mary did. Through this legacy of love, we will find peace, and Mary's spirit will truly live on. Thank you very much.